This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm Kip Allen, host for World Lutheran News Digest. We have two stories today. The first story concerns religious persecution of Christians. Persecution is on the rise worldwide as Islamic violence spreads throughout the Middle East and Africa, nationalist Hinduism in the Indian subcontinent, and the communist government of China. I speak with Todd Daniels, regional manager for the Middle East for International Christian Concern, about the situation worldwide. The second story concerns the lure of Islam. To a Western Christian, why someone would be attracted to Islam, especially radical Islam, is puzzling. Andy Bates puts that question directly to Dr. Timothy Furnish, an expert on the Islamic world, later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news and brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Secretary of State John Kerry assured a Republican lawmaker that the newly sworn-in Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom will have direct access to him after concerns about the position's junior status in the State Department. Quote, "I understand that his role is perhaps not as robust as it could be in reporting directly to you," Representative Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska told Kerry. Stressing the size and importance of the challenge ahead, Fortenberry said, "Middle Eastern Christianity is shattered, and someone's going to have to pick up the pieces there." Kerry replied, "Rabbi Saperstein is distinguished an advocate as there is, and he has access to me at any time." Just before dawn on Monday, February the 23rd, ISIS fighters entered Assyrian Christian villages. More than 90 men, women, and children were taken from the villages and are believed still being held by ISIS. As many as four churches were destroyed, and more than 3,000 people have fled their homes following the assault on the Christian villages along the Khabur River. Initial reports stated that the men were taken by the fighters to the Abd al-Aziz mountain, while the women and children were left in the village, guarded by ISIS militants. Sources of the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported overhearing ISIS fighters say that they had detained what they called 56 crusaders from Tal Shamaram. Additional reports of abductions pushed the number to between 70 and 100, according to Nori Kino, founder of ADFA, with some reports as high as even 200 people being abducted. Extremists also released a video showing continued destruction of the heritage of lands under their control. It depicted men using sledgehammers to smash ancient Mesopotamian statues and other artifacts in Iraq's northern city of Mosul. The destruction of artifacts in the Mosul Museum is part of a campaign by ISIS extremists that destroyed a number of shrines, including Muslim holy sites, to eliminate what they view as heresy. They also are believed to have sold ancient artifacts on the black market in order to finance their campaigns in the region. In the video, militants use sledgehammers and drills to smash and destroy several large statues, which are then shown chipped and in pieces. The five-minute video also shows a black-clad man at an archaeological site in Mosul drilling through and destroying a winged bull, an Assyrian protective deity that dates to the 7th century BC. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. On air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
If you have a question or comment for us at Worldwide KFUO, it's easy to contact us on our website, kfuoam.org. On our homepage, click on Contact Us, where you'll find a map and directions to the station, our telephone numbers, and an online contact form. You can also send an email to our in-studio account, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be happy to hear from you today. Thanks for listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by Tihehe Weilongasi, Lutheran Faihawa.
Today's news is full of stories about how Christians are facing increasing persecution across the globe. The oppression comes from different sources, but the danger is the same. Various groups are helping the victims of such persecution, and one such group is International Christian Concern, which is headquartered in Washington, D.C. Todd Daniels, the ICC's regional manager for the Middle East, talks about the organization.
We've been around about 20 years, and our mission is serving the persecuted church around the world.
Daniels says the ICC's mission is threefold.
We do that through assistance, advocacy, and then awareness of what's going on.
Christian persecution is a worldwide phenomenon. Reflecting the scope, the ICC works in about 30 different countries.
We are operating in about 30 different countries and working both direct assistance with pastors, church leaders, helping to build the church in places where it's difficult.
Not only do they work with church leaders and other organizations, they also bring help to individuals and families who are suffering persecution.
But then we also do a lot of work with the victims of persecution, people like the families of those who were executed in Libya a few weeks ago, or those who have been accused of blasphemy in Pakistan and elsewhere.
Broadly speaking, there are three main sources of persecution of Christians in the world today. They are militant Islam, militant Hinduism, and the communist government of China. Although some of the worst instances of persecution of Christians is taking place in parts of the Middle East controlled by the Islamic State, militant Islam is spreading beyond the reach of the region and indeed beyond the Arab world.
With the Islamic world, it's definitely also reaching out to not just the traditional Middle East or the Near East, where we might think of it, but we're seeing into Africa, kind of creeping down from North Africa, what's happening in Nigeria, just recently in Niger, as well as in East Africa.
Daniel says one of the worst places for Christians is the nation of Pakistan.
Pakistan is one of the central areas where there's a lot of persecution that is definitely caused by Islam, but is because it's outside of the Arabic world. People often overlook that.
Persecution can take different forms. Some persecution takes the form of governmental harassment.
In Pakistan, you have a number of women that are unable to get jobs. They're also in places in Egypt, just on the economic level or education. There's additional restrictions placed on Christians or opportunities that they lose because of that.
Some of the worst persecution doesn't come from hostile governments, but from people who are part of a mob or members of a terrorist group or political movement, such as the Muslim Brotherhood.
And then you have the more overt, violent persecution that I think we can all kind of conceptualize of a pastor who's in prison because of his faith, or someone that's pulled out of their home and beaten by a mob, all the way to what we've seen in Iraq, Syria, and Libya of people that have been executed because they're Christians.
Some of the worst incidents of violence against Christians took place in Egypt in the summer of 2013 as political unrest swept that country.
The wave of persecution that hit Egypt in August of 2013 was probably on probably the largest wave of persecution that country's witnessed in its history, where you had nearly 100 churches that were burned, hundreds of homes, shops, vehicles that were destroyed as well.
That was just one of the most recent examples of oppression against Christians in Egypt, but persecution there is not new. For example, restrictions against building churches have been in place for more than a century.
The restrictions on them, on, like you mentioned, of building churches, there's a law that actually dates back about 100 years, that there's additional criteria for specifically for churches that that would all have to be met, that makes it nearly impossible.
However, the situation in Egypt seems to be improving, especially in the wake of the murder of 20 Egyptian Christians in Libya by ISIS terrorists. Egyptian President Sisi actually reached out to the Coptic community following that tragedy.
There has been in Egypt some really promising steps taken by President Sisi in the last 6 months since he's come into power.
He also became the first Egyptian president in the entire Egyptian history to attend the Christmas Mass and gave a speech at the Coptic Orthodox Christmas service in Cairo in January of 2015, calling for unity and wishing the Christians a Merry Christmas. But things are still restrictive for Christians in other countries, such as Saudi Arabia. Christian houses of worship are forbidden in that country, although an accommodation has been made for certain Western oil workers.
For Westerners who are there working at oil companies and others, there's kind of an understanding that on the compound owned by a company, you might be able to have a gathering of Christians. So there are kind of informal Bible studies that are allowed to happen.
But even these informal gatherings face severe restrictions.
Any materials that they would use in the Bible study had to be shredded afterwards. There could be no remnants of it, no open talk about a church. And then, like you mentioned, of wearing a crucifix or any open or public display of Christianity is also illegal.
Another place where Christians are seeing increasing persecution is India. Although India's government is officially secular with freedom of religion, the overwhelming majority of the population is Hindu. Recently, the Hindu religion and Indian nationalism have become mixed in politics, with adverse results for the nation's Christian minority.
India has been a recent surge in the level of persecution that's been happening there from militant Hindu nationalism that's kind of coalesced in outlawing Christianity in some villages.
Another hot spot of Christian persecution is in the world's most populous country, China. Christianity is rapidly growing in China, a country that is officially atheist, and the Chinese government is grappling with this fact.
Yeah, China has been a really interesting case because they are having to grapple with what do they do with this large Christian population.
One fact of special concern to the government is that there are more professed Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party.
I think some would even say now the number of Christians now outnumber the Communist Party.
Consequently, there is official persecution, especially on the provincial level.
Different tension points come up in pastors that have been arrested, and the legal system is not treating them. It's struggling even to raise legal claims against them. And then you had a huge rash of church destructions, of churches that had crosses being torn down at the order of provincial governors.
Daniel says his organization believes that the levels of Christian persecution are high and are increasing.
There are reasons to think that it is increasing. Some of the trends that and people that are able to track the trends statistically, the number of people that are being persecuted would be increasing at some of the highest levels we've ever seen.
Ironically, persecution is having an unintended consequence, especially in the Islamic world. Daniel says Muslims are converting to Christianity in ever-increasing numbers.
Thousands of Muslims that are coming to Christ. There's everywhere you go, somewhat even as a result of the rise of extremism in Islam, you're seeing a number of people that look at this and are asking these questions of, is that really the faith that I hold?
Christians have faced persecution before and will in the future. We are told in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 2, "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.